This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that.
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? I'll just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our early edition of Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let me welcome in the baseball aficionados, Fish and John. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, babe?
Nothing really. Just happy to be here watching some exciting playoff games.
You know, I almost screwed up there and said the Monday morning edition, but we are coming to you on Tuesday this week. We had some vacation time yesterday and gave us an opportunity to see another great game here in these playoffs as it's rolling along. Guys, it's... This Cleveland machine, this Cleveland train is in no way, shape, or form prepared to stop at the next station, is it?
Well, before we get to that.
Oh, no, I knew it.
Before we get to that, I want my listeners to understand one thing. I keep giving you these winners. I hope you're taking full advantage of these winners. At BetDSI.com, I keep giving you everything. I put it on a plate for them, Jimbo.
I know. Can I just say that I was like, in my mind, I was ready to give you all this praise, all these accolades. I thought we'd talk a little
playoff baseball first. Nah, we're going to get right to it first, and then we'll get to all that.
Before we raise you up on this perch. But the reality of it is, I can't – like, people keep asking me. I don't even know what to tell them. I've lost count. Like, how many games in a row have you won?
I think, I think I'm right now – I got a good 8-game streak going right now.
It's bigger than 8.
Yeah, well, you know what – That's on the conservative side. I wish I was counting, though.
I know this. I walked out of here last week just like I had the week before, and I want to say Fish and I even, like, not behind your back, but I want to say we kind of got together and
behind
said.
Behind my back, huh?
No. We kind of got together and said,
we did.
This guy's crazy. There's no way these Cowboys are going to beat Green Bay. Now, they might cover, but there is no way.
The hell with that. But you know what, folks?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You didn't – You said, it's one thing to say, Cowboys are going to cover the point. You said, they don't even need the points, they're going to win. It's on tape. You can go back and listen to
the episode.
I said
it was lopsided. The Cowboys should be giving them points. I'm telling you folks right now, this Thursday or Friday, whenever we do our
Friday,
show.
Friday this week.
Friday we do our show. I will have you guys on the edge of your seat because I have a 3-star lock that I'm really pumped up about. It's in college, it's in pro, in the NFL, and I want you guys to be a part of it. Get a big account set up right now at BetDSI. Don't spend any money in it right now. Wait for my picks because this Friday I'm going to come through for you, and I'm very confident about this one. BetDSI.com. Go to the right corner, and plus we'll even give you a free promo here, a Bumps10. Bumps10, you click that on, $10 more for Jono to do damage at BetDSI.
Hear this? Does this familiar sound? You know what that is?
That's what is that?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash.
That's two weeks in a row. Well, 2 weeks in a row I've walked out of here not agreeing with you and said it doesn't matter. I'm George Costanza here. I'm gonna do the opposite. Every rational thought
I got it again, Jimbo.
And, I got on BetDSI. I played your picks, and now here I am. Here's my next move, though.
Yes,
I'm gonna get aggressive this week.
Talk to me.
2 weeks in a row I've been conservative. I'm gonna get a little aggressive this week and try to cash in on your unbelievable ability.
Hey, I like his Alabama pick with Tennessee. I think there's people who thought Tennessee would play close.
Absolutely not.
John said Alabama
was going to be a blowout. That was going to be a blowout. And I'm telling you right now, my friends, this Friday, stay tuned. I hope you guys subscribe to this show because that's what we need. We need subscribers to the show, and then you guys will be able to tell. Every week, I will have picks for you, And these are legitimate plays, too. I look at everything. I look at it. Doesn't have to be baseball. Money is money, my friends, and that's what I got. I got it in football right now. NCAA and NFL. Tune in Friday show, subscribe to our show, and it'll be right there for this Saturday morning for you guys to make some money.
You know, this almost sounds like the birth of another show. Like, you know, maybe this guy should do a podcast on gambling. I don't know. Maybe you might make
well,
the
you
guy,
may lose me there,
you
Jimbo.
May, you may, the Guido down the street may not be real happy with you.
Let's just wait around in case he hits a losing streak and see how that works.
No, yeah, no kidding. No, but we're not losing anything here,
hey,
Fish.
You know who's not losing? These Cleveland Indians they are now undefeated in the postseason. So, you know, it's funny. I'm quoted on here as saying that I feel like you've given me some praise for being on Toronto all year, and I felt like I kept getting off the wagon and getting back on in my own mind. So finally, I take a real aggressive stance with Toronto, and now they appear to be on their way out, as Cleveland shows no signs of slowing down.
Well, if they win this next game, go back and tell me, when was the last time somebody swept the two first playoff rounds?
I couldn't even,
Cincinnati Reds, they did that in 1990. They swept everything. They didn't allow one team to one game.
I might need a documentation on that.
Oh, please do. Please.
I was 12 years old in 1990.
What, 12? You were dumbfounded at 12? I mean, you're still around at 12. You know what the hell's going on at 12. I'm just telling you guys right now, what they're doing is outstanding, but here's the consequences. You got game four, and they're already talking about Kluber coming in game four, which I don't think that this is the right precedence, my friends. I don't think that this is going to be working out for them if they go this route. If you're up 3-0, if you're going that route, if you're going to be up 3-0, why try to put your best guy in there? You can afford to lose one game.
The only thing I can figure is, I'm with you on this. I think it's a bad thing, bad choice. My only, this is almost seems like overmanaging me. The only reason to do this is so that you can then in turn, if this thing goes to seven, bring him back again.
Hey, listen.
I don't get it.
Is anybody really at this stage ready to question anything Francona's doing?
This is very controversial.
Oh,
come on,
man.
Come on.
No, no, come on now, me, Jimbo. Every button he's pushed so far has been right.
I got that.
I mean, that's why we're here. We got our own opinions, but, man, I don't think I'm going
to. What you're doing is showing you're really desperate, and I don't think you need to go in that mode right now.
Well, is there something to be said about when you got the hammer, use it? I mean, we get the hammer. They're down.
But you're going to have to use that hammer again.
With barium. Maybe not.
No, maybe not. I mean, what, this AL championship, you're done then? Then
no,
you got to take on the Cubs.
No,
how much then Kluber can go?
No, they got plenty of time for Kluber to rest if they win this thing in four. Trust me.
He'll come back. He'll come back. How many pitches are you throwing already?
That's youth baseball talk again. I'm so tired hearing about this pitch count crap.
All right, but it's part of the game.
The Giants win that game if they don't get into that 120 pitch crap and send what's his name back out there. What was his name? Help me out there.
Matt Moore.
They send him back out there. They win that game.
You do not want to be tired for the Cubs.
Well, hang on.
I'm tired.
Cubs. Wait a minute. Here's
tired.
The deal. Wait a minute. Here's
go
the deal.
Home and take a nap.
Wait a minute. And here's the other thing too. These Cubs got their hands full.
I know. You've been talking Dodger stuff.
Right, these Cubs
happen.
Got their hands full. All right. Now, on the other end, I'm quoted on here as taking the Dodgers, and because now listen, I'm not naive enough not to realize that Clayton Kershaw can make the biggest idiot look like a genius. But I did say that I think that, you know, it's proven that they struggle with left-handed pitching, and you know, obviously Kershaw could throw with his foot, and he's a handful for anybody. What happens from here on out, I don't know. I think it all lies on the shoulders of Rich Hill and what he can and can't do tonight. My gut call was that the Dodgers were going to do something based on that left-handed thing, and it looks like I was correct. They are going to go to the rookie phenom in Game 4, Urias.
Yeah, well, it ain't Kershaw, so that's all the Cubs are
worried
about.
I understand
about.
That.
That's the only thread that keeps the whole Dodger thing together here against the Cubs.
I'm not even a big stats guy. I mean, I think good teams win, but you can't deny, like, if you look at everything, I told you that night that when the Giants played them, that the Cubs struggle against left-handed guys that throw breaking balls. Matt Moore basically shut them down, and then the bullpen allowed that thing to go. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
That ain't happening.
I wouldn't call it a bullpen.
Well, no,
if
it's
the Giants
not.
Had a bullpen, they would have won that game.
They would have won that game.
Put a lot of pressure back on Chicago.
Well,
in game
Arrieta's going to be, and this is Fish's guy here. Arrieta's going to be outstanding tonight.
Okay.
Well, he was Fish's guy, but
what do you mean was? I thought he is.
Hey, I'm a fish. I flip flop.
Flounder.
I'm a flounder. I flip flop. So, as I'm watching these playoffs, man, there's a lot of guys that are throwing well. I mean, guys like Kluber, guys like Kershaw, guys, you know. So, I think it's hard to just look at Arrieta at this point and think that he's the end of. I thought that last year, and I kind of thought it this year, but I'll refrain that a little bit or draw that back a little bit.
The game last night, obviously, and, you know, it's awful. I feel bad for Bauer, right? I mean, but, you know, he's playing with his drone and hurts his finger. Which, hey, there's been weird injuries around these playoffs for years. I don't get it. But he goes out, and they try to do something to it. This wasn't like a paper cut. This cat went and got 26 stitches, okay? And he's going to try to pitch 3 days later or whatever it is, or 4 days, and they try to glue it or do something because you can't have anything on there that can manipulate the ball. It's a very touchy situation. Well, did you guys see it? I mean, they showed a close-up. I mean, he's bleeding all over the place like a stuck pig. You know, the manager for Toronto comes out and says, look, what are we going to do here? And then Cleveland's pissed about it. Well, what do they want Toronto to do? You can't sit out there and bleed all over the ball.
No, I don't think they were because I heard, Francona afterwards, and I don't think he was downplaying.
Did you watch him walk off that mound?
Seemed like he had a pretty good relationship with Gibbons, and I think he thought he was being legit. I don't think there was all that going on.
Did you watch Bauer walk off the mound?
No, I'm talking
about
Francona.
Look at the crowd.
I'm talking about Francona.
Did you watch a pitcher walk off the mound?
I'm sure Bauer
was pissed. And Francona gave like a middle finger to something. He's saying it's a nervous habit or whatever. He really didn't mean to give anybody the middle finger. But the reality of it is they were pissed. They were pissed. Hey, you know, they're giving that whole thing. You know, this guy's in the playoffs. You're taking away his opportunity. Bullshit. He took his opportunity away when he decided to play with his fucking drone.
Come on, Jimmy. What are you going to do? You got to live a life. I mean,
accidents happen. Don't blame it on the other team to clean up your mess.
Before with Schilling and the ketchup and the bloody sock and the bloody finger,
well, that was a legit injury.
Was this even real?
Well, even on that note, though, Fish, he wasn't bleeding all over the place. It was on his sock, and
he wasn't bothering anybody with it.
Like,
hey, whoa.
He's literally standing there.
Hold up, I was trying to add a little humor to this.
There's no humor here, Fish.
The stupidity going on here. I mean, the guy can go where he can't go, and I mean, I think he would have struggled to continue to go anyway. I think it was the right move. Get him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't bleed all over the ball.
No, that's
you can't bleed all over the ball. What's going on here?
He really was bleeding pretty good.
He was. So I'm just sitting there thinking that's a logical thing to go out and do. And then I saw. Now listen, I'm smart enough to realize that Bauer's upset, right? I mean, it's like in the back of his mind when he cools down a little bit, he's more upset at himself, right? Like, not even to your point, he's living a life, but it's like, I can't believe this is happening to me. So he's obviously frustrated, right? But it's not the crowd's, it's not anybody's fault that this is happening. I mean, what would you be looking at the crowd making all these gestures? Just, hey, hit the road. Maybe you'll be okay for next round. Now you can relish in the fact that you went to your bullpen in the first inning and still got it done.
That's an interesting question, Jimbo, because I'm not so sure based on what I've seen that he'll be ready for the next
round. Well, I don't know either, but my point is maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. For his own personal sake, it would be awful if he couldn't and these Indians got to do that, but hey.
And wasn't it like I told you guys, once you get these Toronto guys frustrated – They just go off the deep end, man. They're pissed.
This Cleveland team reminds me, as I'm watching them now, a little bit like your secondary favorite Giant team. They're like scrappy, and they got a lot of different guys doing a lot of stuff. They're not waiting around for one guy to hit a 3-run home run to win.
No,
you know, like some.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys that are the. I don't even know if I'd go as far as say producing like they're putting up some godly big numbers. Just at the right time, right place, move the runner over, make a great catch in left field, you know, all these things. Terrific play.
Coco Crisp, a guy they get back, they've had him for, you know, Coco Crisp. I mean, here's a guy, probably not long for this league, right? I mean, if he has any time left, I mean, you know.
We've been saying that for years now, and the guy still produces. Obviously, Tony thinks he's he's definitely worth something. So why the hell?
No, I'm fine. That's my point. It's amazing how, you know, everything they do is working out. I wasn't getting on your. I just I feel like I get it with the manager thing. I just feel like sometimes we put so much, like, you know, the manager. I mean, these guys play. The players play.
So I'm really not a big proponent of them pitching Kluber in game four either. I'm really not. I'm just seeing, if you're looking at this, there are some, you can find some things in that. Like, one is, like I said, when you got the hammer, use it. Bury him. Then if you wait and lose that game, the next thing, you know, use Kluber if he thinks it's the right move. And I was saying that this Francona, every move he's made, has been the right one so far. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
no arguing that.
Okay, what's a, be honest with you, having Coco Crisp hit that home run is not rocket science on Francona. I mean, it happened, okay? You don't, if that doesn't happen, we got Red Sox still in this. They're still competing. I mean, come on. I mean, I think it's a wrong move on what he's going to be doing here.
That's
with
the regular, John. That's the regular ebb and flow of the game. I mean, right? Every time someone gets a big hit or makes a great play, you can't say the manager was.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has put him there. My thing is, he used five different pitchers and pitched them all like one and a third inning. You know, how many guys do that?
Okay, well, hang on, though. This is where I'm going with this, okay? Joe Fan, which that's all we really are at the end of the day, right?
And again, we're bums.
That's right, we're all bums. And this is just a conversation, right? But the reality of it is, this is why it irritates me. Because if Francona does that, which is kind of off script. See, that's what we're saying here. He's doing some stuff that's a little off script, and it's great. It's working out. So that makes him smarter in a buying room. What if it doesn't work? Then everybody's going, what are you doing? Why don't you do your normal routine? Your sixth inning guy, your seventh inning guy, your eighth. That's what I don't like about it. Okay? It's real. It's all after the fact, Jimmy. But
that's,
it's all after the fact.
Not what he's doing. What we think about it's after the fact, but what he's doing is not after the fact.
I agree.
He's making moves at any given time that are all paying off. Absolutely. If they don't work out, then three guys like us, bums sitting around, are saying, that's crazy. What'd they do that for? And we've already seen in the playoffs some, like bringing Kershaw in and bringing Chapman in the eighth to get six outs. We've seen some that, well, the Kershaw thing did work, but Chapman thing didn't.
They didn't.
So we've seen some that haven't worked, and then we're all over the guy. That's what it's about.
Okay, but hang on. But that's my point. So to you're dead on there. Joe Maddon brings Chapman. Everybody loves Joe Maddon. Joe Madden's reason the Cubs are, I can tell you, Joe Maddon is not the reason the Cubs are where they're at. The Cubs are where they're at because they have the best team in baseball. Their front office put this thing together. Joe Madden's just doing it all. All these things that he's doing that everybody thinks are so special goes on every club. I'm sorry, folks. Okay, the little cute story about him having wine with the relievers. They invited him back. It happens on every team. Don't think it doesn't.
It's a fact. With some of this.
No, it's a fact. And the reality of it is, these guys play. Okay, I'm telling you right now, my kid can go out and write up a lineup with those guys in it. What are you going to do? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to pencil in Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Dexter Fowler, you know, all these cats, Ben Zobrist. It doesn't take a rocket scientist for
we've
that.
We've talked about that. That's because we've talked about many a time about what Mitch Williams had said that a 10-year-old could manage on game day. I get that. That's the easy part. The hard part is getting them prepared to play, getting them loose enough in a big arena like we have now in the playoffs, and still be able to play and perform. I get that anybody, my wife could say, okay, yeah, this guy's hitting 340. Yeah, he needs to play. I get that. But getting him there, getting him prepared to be there, getting him loose enough to play, that's the hard part, and I think Maddon does
it
well.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think they all do it well, because here's the problem. They don't.
They're all tied for first.
Yes. And listen to where I'm going with this. Okay, so now all of a sudden, does that mean Bochy's no good at that because they lost? They lost. They got beat.
No, you know what it means? It means Bochy's still real good at it because he got his team in the playoffs and competed against the best team in baseball. But you know what? He's not as good. He's not tied for first because he wasn't able to beat the Cubs, because some of his moves, and I get talent, I do get
that.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
overstate that a little bit, because no, we don't give up on Bochy, but as being a great manager, but the things that Bochy does to have this team that's scrappy and has this team that Jono loves, and I've taken the loving to actually the Giants because of the way they play, that says something about the manager. Now you can't say that the manager is not a big part of this.
I didn't say he wasn't a part of it, but what I'm saying is
you acted like the general.
I'm kind of going the other way. I'm talking about the guys that don't get any credit, like the guys that do a good job. that you don't realize they're doing a good job because their teams aren't very good. It's not the manager's fault that the front office doesn't give them players to compete.
There's got
to
be a balance. We get that. You can't win with horse manure. I get that. But we're not talking about, or at least I'm not sitting here talking about, we're talking about the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Well, playoffs?
Fellas.
We're not talking about the teams that didn't make it and the teams that weren't no good.
I think right now you're looking at a team. Let's go to the Dodgers-Cubs showdown here.
Okay.
They only had two hits. Now, here's where the manager plays a big role here. As a manager, do you walk into the dugout and say, hey, that was Kershaw you guys faced. Let's have a little what is that called? Amnesia?
Amnesia is a tough one, yeah.
And get rid of that. Get rid of that thought, and let's move on. Or do you just say go out there? Two hits, that tells me one thing right there, that right now you're looking at a team that they were all 0 for 4, basically. Now, you don't want to slump now, guys. Now what I'm saying is, does Madden go in there and say, that was Kershaw you guys took on? You're not going to see Kershaw now. Let's move on.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think
this is where I brought up the manager aspect.
I don't think it's a little league pep talk, but I think he keeps them loose. He says, hey, guys, you got to win 4 anyway. Something like that. I don't know exactly what he says, but the point is he keeps them loose. He keeps them engaged. He keeps them saying, hey, this isn't the end of the world. I mean,
right.
So
right.
I do think the manager plays a role.
Because they were all goose eggs throughout their 9 innings, and he's got to convince them that was Kershaw. He does that to a lot of teams. Let's get over that. Let's move on. Because you don't want psychologically to be out of it already by going 0 for 4 and thinking, oh, am I getting into it? Well, right here.
I agree with you. I just don't know which. I don't know. I'm a nobody, and that's what I'd say. I'd say, guys, you just faced the best pitcher in baseball. Let's throw it in the trash. Let's get after it tomorrow.
Right.
I'm not managing a major league team, and that's what I'd say. I mean,
that's
you
right.
really
but
think
what if
that
he says that in a way that the players don't buy into that?
Okay.
See, I think there is a big psychology thing that goes on with the manager. I think that's his biggest job. I've talked about the Cardinals manager, Tony Roos, 1,000 times. Great preparation manager. Has them ready to play, gets the kind of guys he wants, plays hard. I think he's a horrible game day manager. I think the 10-year-old could do
a
better job
on
game day. But I don't. I do say that he has them prepared. He gets guys that play hard. He gets guys that play his style. I think the Bochy's do that. And I get like Theo Epstein right now. I mean, first off, I want to say, is he not going to go down as the greatest GM ever? He wins in Boston. Now he wins, comes to Chicago if they win. I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, again.
Case closed. If he wins in Chicago.
No, that's not fair, though, either.
I don't know it's fair, either. I mean,
honest to God, if someone gives me an empty check, if an owner gives me an empty check, he goes, go get the best team.
Yeah, he didn't.
I can do that. It's not rocket science.
It's an organizational thing.
Let me tell you something.
Theo Epstein's not the one who traded Andrew Kashner for Anthony Rizzo.
We're talking about who's going to get credit for it, though. Just like the manager, even when it's not his fault, he's the guy that gets blamed for it. Quarterback in football, win, lose, or draw. If they win, he gets credit. If he loses, he gets the blame.
Okay.
What I am saying is, it's end of story. The Red Sox hadn't won since 1912. He goes there. They win, 3 World Series. The Cubs haven't won since 1908, which is well documented, and we're living it all right now. And if he comes here and they win, end of story. I agree. We've talked about this money thing a million times on this show.
Sure.
But I will say this. Don't get too caught up in the thinking, hey, if I have all the money, I can get the best players. Because we have seen teams the money get the players and still not win.
Well, here, I will give you that. See, here's the thing that you'd be surprised to hear. I am much more prepared to give Theo Epstein a ton more credit than I am Joe Madden. Okay, now, I'm not saying Madden's not important, but the reality of it is, okay, if Joe Madden's so great, where's all the world championships in Tampa? Okay.
No, that's not fair either.
Well,
the guy worked
with
what he had, and he made it.
But that's my point. If the manager plays such a huge role, what's a bigger role? Is it the manager or the talent? It's a combination.
Well, no, yeah, but I will defer to you on this one, Jimmy. I'm always going to say the talent. Because you have to have that. I don't care how great of a manager you are. If you don't have the talent, you're not going to win. So you have to have the horses. Absolutely have to have the horses. So that's the biggest part of the battle. If you get the horses, can you still manage them? Can you still be successful? Madden was successful. Here's the other thing. Now, I'm not inside that. I am a typical fan. I have no insight inside clubhouses, nothing. But it's going to take a lot for you to convince me that Joe Madden doesn't have an an input on what trades are and aren't being made there in Chicago.
Well, you would hope
that Epstein didn't come to him and saying, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally 100%
Yeah, but some of these guys that are there, they were there when he got there.
I guarantee
whether it be
you.
In the minors or whatever. I mean, listen, to your point, the Cubs have done a great job as an organization. I mean, it isn't like all these guys, they went out and signed them as free agents. I mean, the only, to my knowledge, Dexter Fowler.
They signed Hayward.
Zobert. Yeah, but Hayward's awful. So there you go. So if Theo Theo Epstein's so great, what's he throwing $200 million at a defensive replacement for
Great? Wait a minute. No, I'm just saying he's going to go down as one of the greatest.
Okay.
There's no that's unquestionable. Here's the thing. No, we're really not at the point where we're going to pick one mistake, one flaw, and say the guy's not great.
Well, hang on, though.
So you're going to define whether he's great or not because he went out and signed Hayward?
Well,
that seems like a bad move,
but that's
no doubt.
It's awful because here's the deal. He didn't sign a guy that's a perennial 300 hitter, hits 20 home runs, plays great defense, a $200 million contract. He signed a career like 250 hitter with no power to a $200 million contract.
We're located here in St. Louis area, and when they made that move, we all knew it was a mistake.
For sure.
For that amount of money.
We still got idiots around here that wanted him to sign Hayward, that wanted the Cardinals to sign Hayward. So that's ignorant.
On that note, I did too, but not for that kind of money.
I didn't want him for any money because if he's on your team, you're not very good. If he's a starter.
What are you saying? The Cubs just won with him starting right.
But they have the ability to tell him to have a seat.
He's still a starter.
That's what makes you great, okay? Is when you have the ability to spend $200 million on a guy and say, it's clutch time, have a seat, and they've done it.
Well, that's the money thing. Yes, it helps to have money in this sport.
For sure.
Because you got to be able to spend money to win.
For sure. Now, I will say, I will give him a ton more credit, but the reality is he wasn't there forever. Like I said, he's not the one that traded Andrew Cashner for Anthony Rizzo. Okay.
Yeah, you're bringing up one example, and that's great. But
that's a big example. I mean, this guy's a reality deal. So wait a minute. Where were all the cries in baseball? Okay, if these guys are so smart, I never even knew who Jake Arrieta was until a year ago. If that was such a steal and such a great deal, when they traded for him from Baltimore, where was everybody going, what a dumb move. Nobody said a word until he got over here and God knows what he's doing. I don't care about rumors.
That's counterproductive to your argument, and here's why. Because although you didn't know that Arrieta could be this good, somebody did. Somebody knew that he could perform.
You're making my point for me. My point is I'm willing to give him credit. Where's all these so-called experts at 3 years ago when they traded for him going, this guy's a great guy? They don't know any more than anybody. If Arrieta works out like he has, he's an expert. If Arrieta doesn't work out, what was the big deal? Yeah. Arrieta wasn't very good.
But to get where Epstein, Madden, Bochy, any of these guys are, enough of this stuff has worked out favorably or they wouldn't have these names. Now, look, if we listed the top, if we said right now to our listeners, hey, send us best four managers in baseball right now. Matter of fact, do that, listeners. It's going to be those guys we're talking about. It's going to be Bochy. It's going to be Madden. It's going to be Francona.
What do they all have in common?
Well, they win.
That's right. You're telling me that there's not one young manager out there that's handcuffed with a team with no talent because they won't give him any that's not a great manager?
Yes.
Bullshit.
Yes, there is.
What's amazing when you guys were talking like this? Who could have won more championships if he was just a manager and didn't go with his heart and have four outstanding pitchers on the mound?
Bobby Cox. Tell me Bobby Cox was a failure?
You're going to have to say that.
Okay.
He only won one World Series, didn't he?
I guess.
If he would have pulled the plug on one of these guys in the sixth inning when they were starting to go down, I mean, maybe you could have had a better shot, but you kept them in there. You kept them in their seventh, eighth inning, and they got hit. I mean, they make them out. Oh, they are Hall of Famers, but I'm just saying to you guys out there that he believed in them way too long into the innings. And if it was one of these guys that we're mentioning right now, maybe a Madden right now would have said, you know what, we've gone too far. We got to pull you out. I don't care what you've done to get us here.
So here's the deal, Jimmy. Failure's the wrong word. You cannot call Bobby Cox as a manager.
Hell no.
No, he's
but
not.
You can say, you can say that he wasn't as successful as he should have been.
Exactly. No, Jimbo, honest to God, that was a hell of a 90s run with the Atlanta Braves, and you only come out with one World Series out of that? Come on, man. You had, what, three of them that went in the Hall of Fame.
And it wasn't
I could have used them productively.
You're talking about the three pitchers. Chipper Jones may be there one day.
Chipper Jones
should be there. He was your third baseman the whole time. Yeah. David Justice at one time had more postseason home runs than any player alive.
No
question. And some of that's because they've expanded. You know, that's not fair to the Mickey Mantles and them guys that only played in the World Series because they didn't have championship and LDCS and CLDN and all that. But the fact of the matter is David Justice had the most home runs of any player in baseball.
I agree with you. I just don't think that Madden would have stood around and watched a fallout with one of these pitchers. I think you got to go in there and get it done. And I think right now you got to play with your head and not your heart. When you're in the playoffs.
The year that the Braves won, it stretches my memory, so help me. The year that they won was Smoltz working out of the bullpen was either their closer at the time. Was that the year they won?
I do believe that, yeah.
I'm thinking it was, but it's hard for me to remember. So what difference does that play? I mean, hey, look it. Failure is the wrong word. Because he's not that, but he's not as successful
and
as
I didn't say
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And you know what? The benchmark is, I know Jimmy said I'm not a stat guy, but baseball's a stat game. The benchmark is that.
Okay.
Do you win? How many times do you win?
All right, so here we go. All right, I'm going to give you some stuff here. All right. So this particular team that I'm going to give you, you ready?
You guys ready? Go ahead. Okay. What do you want?
So 1 year, they are 61-101.
Uh-huh.
Next year they're 66-96. The next year they're 97-65.
Okay.
Then the year after that they're 84-78. Then they're 96-66, 91-71, 90-72, 92-71.
Okay.
Then they're 77-85.
What are you doing here? Where are we going with this?
Okay. So what do we have there? We have a team that pretty good. I mean, they had some lean years, but we got some 90-win teams in there. We got a 96 and a 97-win team in there.
Right.
We got no world championships. We got one pennant.
What?
And then we have years where they can't even finish 500.
About?
Joe Madden, when he was in Tampa. So all of a sudden. So
Joe Madden didn't have three guys that went in the Hall of Fame as
pitchers. There we go. There we go.
You're making
my point.
No, you're not. He's not making
your
point.
No, because it's a balance. I get what you're saying, Jimmy. I said that a while ago. You have to have the horses. Joe Madden didn't have quite enough horses down there to win it all.
How do you have enough horses to win 97 games but can't get it done? That's what the Braves did every year. Every year.
Well, I'm just saying to you right now, you're going to look at a manager, and I'm just using this terminology, clock management. You're going to see it now with Madden instead of a guy like Cox that's going to leave his guys out there way too long because he believes in them throughout the season. Now you're looking at a guy that looks at – and you made the point with your a right fielder there. He paid $200 million for him. He still said, you know what, I don't care about the money. I'm going to have to bench you. That's the kind of guy that we're dealing with.
I agree with you on that. I think that's awesome. Okay.
I mean, that's how this guy is, though. He's not buying into how much I paid for this, how many games has Matt, how much wins has he had in the regular season, 20 wins, Glavin 19 wins. I don't care. Now we're in postseason. You're going to have to come through.
Okay.
If not, I got to pull the plug on you.
Okay, I agree. Where I'm going with this, though, is how many teams in Major League Baseball at the end of the season can look at where they're deficient and say, I mean, we've lived through it here. It's like, man, we're lucky to get one guy. So they go out and they sign Hayward to this money. This is what I'm talking about, whether it be them or a Yankees or a high-dollar team. The reality of it is they didn't just sign Hayward. They went and signed Zobrist, who everybody wanted, who allows them to sit Hayward, okay? Otherwise, you probably know better off. And they say, you know what else we need? We're going to go ahead and sign Lackey. Depth at the end of the day that allows you to make these quote-unquote great moves that anybody could say, the guy's struggling to have a seat. It's real easy to do that. It's hard to do that when you say, this guy's struggling, and you look down the bench, and you got nobody else. That's what makes him great. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
The reason he didn't win in Tampa, I guarantee you said it yourself, he didn't have the horses.
Right.
Okay. Well, you look down that bench, he's got horses. And another thing for Bobby Cox, I would find it very hard to believe. I know he had a couple of good stoppers at the end of his bullpen. There is no way you'll be able to convince me that he had a bullpen like they got in Chicago. A bullpen, not a back-end closer, because I know he had a couple good ones there. It's real easy to go to your bullpen in the seventh inning when you got those guys there.
Right.
And again, that's not Madden's fault. That's a testament to them of building the bench. People would act like for years because you got a closer, you can't go trade for one at the deadline. Somebody a little while back said, screw that, I'm going to go get two of the best, then I'm going to shut this thing down after the seventh inning. People are buying in.
Well, no, because money. If you got the money, you can do that.
For sure.
I mean, again, discuss that. Money helps, players help, managers help. There's a balance in there somewhere. Baseball's a numbers game, Jimmy. You look at the numbers and you decide where you fall in. You know, you can't hit 230, 12 home runs, driving 52 runs, and be a great player. I know everybody can say, oh, he's scrappy. You know, he brings this to the team. He's a hustler. He does that. He does this. Bullshit. At the end of the day, give me some numbers or you're out.
Okay, I'm going to throw a name at you guys, and you tell me your honest thoughts on him as a manager. Okay? He's a Hall of Fame guy. I mean, you can't even hardly argue this. Joe Torre. Was he a great manager?
I think he had pitchers to back it up, yeah. I think Rivero.
I asked you a question. Is he a great manager? He's in the Hall of Fame. So
you know what? When he was a Cardinal, he didn't have anyone.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't have anyone. You had a Bush beer company that didn't give a shit about their Cardinal team in those years.
Wait a minute. One year in St. Louis, you looked this up for me, Jimmy.
Okay.
Jimmy's a smart guy. I think he finished 500.
Easy pal.
He finished 500 one day, your Joe Torre in St. Louis, and had Kent Bottenfield as his ace. Now, I'd say that's pretty damn good managing. If you can finish 500 in this league and your ace is Kent Bottenfield.
We're not buying that.
I'd say that's not pretty good managing. Kent Bottenfield.
What the hell do we care about 500? You want 500, you go to the Reds.
No. We're talking about managerial. How good he is as a manager.
I get you, but even said it 5 minutes ago about stats.
You brought Torre up. Right, I get that. What I'm saying is I'm going beyond that, and I'm saying I would say that's a pretty good job managing to have that team he had and finish anywhere around 500. Now, in New York, he didn't have that problem. He obviously had everybody he ever needed.
Well, here.
So I'm trying to say.
To your point, you asked me to look it up, so I'm going to look it up for you. Here's a guy that was in St. Louis who had three seasons where he was a shade over 500 as a manager. Okay, he gets fired in St. Louis in 95 because he's a bad manager, right?
Well, was he?
Well, okay. He wins the World Series the next year with the Yankees, the very next year. Not 3 years later where he gets to go put his stamp on a team, where he gets to bring his intensity, where he gets to bring all this. He went to a team, and I'm going to do a little more research here so I can give you probably what you want, and that's, let's face it, I'm going to give you some names here. So he left St. Louis with Club Scrub, which is what they were because we lived through it, right? And he decided to go over to a place that had Martinez at first, Derek Jeter at short, Wade Boggs at third, Bernie Williams in center, Paul O'Neill, Ruben Sierra as a bench guy. He had Daryl Strawberry, Tim Raines, Cecil Fielder. That's my point. These are the guys that don't even start. They're on his bench, okay? And he's got Charlie Hayes. He's got all these guys, Pat Kelly, Jorge Posada. He's got all these guys on the mound. You know, he's got David Cone, Kenny Rogers.
Some of these guys started.
No. I'm telling you.
No, hell. Derek Jeter started his old time
there. I gave you those guys. Then I went.
So did Posada.
No. What I said was, on the bench, he's got Raines, Strawberry, Cecil Fielder, okay, Charlie Hayes.
Old guys that have been there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
veterans,
and then you decide who am I going to face? You're going to face Kenny Rogers, David Cone. Okay, you got all these guys, Andy Pettit. Okay, you got Mariano Rivera in the bullpen. You got Dwight Gooden. You got all these guys. So all of a sudden, he's a great manager, fantastic manager.
No, you're right about that.
No, I'm not sure I'm following it still because
what aren't you following? The guy was awful, and then a year later he's great because he's got great players.
No. You said he was awful. I'm not prepared to say he was awful in St. Louis. I'm prepared to say he didn't have the horses.
No.
Has his managerial style changed that much? Probably did because they had a different team.
It changed in 3 months.
Your philosophy, Jimmy, he's not dumb. If he's got guys that can run, he's going to run with them. If he's got power, he's going to wait in a 3-run homer.
Right.
All managers do that.
No, Fish
there, there you go. You just said it.
If you got
you
a different squad,
it.
You play them different.
You just said it. All managers do that.
But some better than others. Jimmy, wait a minute. I got to say this. You're not going to sit across from me and lead me to believe. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a podcaster. Because I don't, if you had the listeners calling right now, I don't think there's any question they'd say I'm the best one in the show.
Oh, no question.
So the point is this. We're not all tied for first, as we like to say on the show. So when you say all managers can do that, bullshit. All of them can do it, but to what level? Because some managers are better than others. Some players are better than others. Just like right now, you pick your little all-star team. I know the players you like, so I won't even go there. You'd pick those guys. You think they're better. That makes a difference.
Okay, I agree. This is my point. It's not like, to me, a bad manager is this guy. Here's bad manager. I have the power-hitting Cardinals. That's what they were this year. They hit home runs. They didn't hit for average. They didn't do anything. Just like these teams, they do all this. If I go in and try to impose my will and say, we're going to run, and you don't have guys that can run, that makes you a dumbass, and you're a horrible manager.
Yeah, but I got
to say. But my point is the fans want that. They like, if you look at, we don't have to look any further than our hometown team here. What's the problem? They didn't play good defense, and they didn't steal any bases. They don't have the guys to do that. How is that the manager's fault?
I don't, to hell with this hometown team.
I can go to any city. I can go to any city.
What I am saying is we need to get back to playoff baseball because here's the problem. You're the problem, actually.
Why am I the problem? Why am I the problem?
I just felt right.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And where I was going with this is San Francisco sitting at home because Bruce Bochy didn't pull the right string? Or they just weren't better?
No. Jimmy, this all started. That's not the case because you know sitting across from me the respect that I have for Bochy. I may put him at the very top of the heap. But for right now, the way baseball works, this Terry Francona is, or Tito, whatever you guys want to call him, is hot. Everything he's touching is the right move. Just like when a hitter gets hot, he's hot. Then he's going to go through slumps. There are going to be times where Francona makes these same decisions at some point in his career where they don't look nearly as good. But for right now, they're all working. So right now, I say give this man his due. If he's ready to throw Kluber in game four, I say it's probably the right decision because this guy, everything he's touching is gold. Now, that will change, just like on a hot hitter or a hot, whatever.
All right, listen.
Hell, Jenny McCarthy used to be hot. She ain't no more. It always changes.
Yes, she is.
She ain't hot like she used to be.
Point
is this.
She's tied for first. Are you crazy?
Hey, going back to Joe Torre, though, I really think that Joe Torre was the right mix for the Yankees. All those guys you mentioned were all older guys that didn't need that rah-rah bullshit in them. I think those were guys that were coming off different teams and so forth. I really think that Joe Torre was the right mixture for that team. If you went with a Madden, it may not have worked out because I'll tell you right now, that's not a type of team in New York to where they need your motivation. They know what the hell they got to do.
See, that's what makes John all good for this show because he actually thinks before he says stuff, unlike me and you, Jimmy. And I'm worse than you are, by the way. But because I agree with that, Torre does seem like the exact right fit for that team. Right. Now, it's hard to argue with success the way he went about that, but would I say he's better than Bochy or Madden or, Francona? I certainly wouldn't say he's better. He fit that team and it was right. That was the thing. Sometimes is there a right manager for a right team?
Okay.
I mean.
Oh, okay, and on the counter to that. And here's the thing. I'm just devil's advocate at this because I am tired of certain.
Well, you better
managers.
Stop because you're about to get your ass beat.
No, I'm not going to get my ass beat because I'm gonna ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the question of, do you have to be a rocket scientist to manage this? I'm going to go through his player list, and you tell me.
No, before you give it to me, no, you don't, because nothing of this is rocket scientist. None of this is curing cancer. None of this is any of that.
Okay, he had a starting catcher hit .294. He had a first baseman hit .292 with 25 homers. He had a second baseman that year who was a good player. He's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, that hit .340. He's got a shortstop that hit .314 that played great defense. He's got a Hall of Famer at third that hit .311. Okay, now we get into left field where he had a guy hit .270. He's got a center fielder that hit .305 with 29 bombs.
We get it. You're
boring.
He's got
a right.
We get it.
Okay, so my point is.
What's the point?
Go look at half the other teams in the league. They don't have one guy hitting like that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to manage these great players. I'm sorry, you don't.
No, come on. No, you're making it like any jackass could pick them. You're so full of it. There.
Okay.
I'm not sure that point because I would agree that you do not have to be a rocket scientist. As we said, this is not really at the end of the day that important when you see little kids with leukemia and stuff. This just isn't that important. But if we're going to talk about it and we're going to look at it, there are guys, as I'm trying to say about Francona, who are hot. He's just making, I don't know if God has blessed him. I don't know. What I do know is everything he's doing right now is working. And I'm saying if this guy says Kluber's the guy, and Jono brought this up, I didn't hear Francona say that, so I'm not saying he even said it. But if Francona, in fact, said that Kluber's the guy that should go in game four, then O'Fisher, who knows more than everybody about everything more than most, is going to say, I'm going to have to go with him on this one.
How could I think you're wearing the guy out. I think you're making everything happen for the AL championship, and there's a team right around the corner that can't wait to get to you. That's the way I look at things, and I don't think are you that desperate? Are you showing that much no confidence in your team by having someone else go on the mound?
Jono, I love that. I love that you're thinking that way because I could see that, but I don't see it as desperation. I see it as I said earlier, for the third time, I hate to wear it out, but they got the hammer. Use it.
I don't think they have the hammer.
Let's
bury
them.
I think
they don't. They're up 3-0 and everything they've done's right.
I get that. I get that. But if you lose this, it could really hurt you. It could really hurt you. It could really make everything it could turn things around immediately.
It could. You know, that's the way baseball is. I get that. I mean, we've seen it.
Why do you have to play when the Red Sox
come back down 3-0 to the Yankees, it can be done. Probably improbable in the situation, but can be done. But I'm going to tell you this. If Toronto wins game four, Kluber pitching or not, they're still not tied for first. They're still down 3-1 and in a desperate, dire situation. Like I said, we've already talked. The Red Sox have done. There has been team in basketball. There's been teams that not get done. It's in this situation, it looks to me to be too big of a mountain for Toronto to climb, whether or not they win game four, which I know kind of makes your point, Jono. Then why use Kluber now?
Right.
I get that.
Right. That's what I'm asking.
I do get that. I'm not really disagreeing with what you're saying. Everything Cromer said, or Jimbo said, I disagree with, but not you, Jono. I'm just saying that you got it, use it, bury them.
I mean, it's almost like you're telling your team, I have to go this route. And you don't have to. What are you? You're telling your team that we're still behind the eight ball on that one. I mean, we are still not where we want to be, and I have to play him.
Yeah, I don't think they're looking at it like that because I don't think the team in any way, shape, or form thinks they're drawing an eight ball. I mean, maybe the guy that should have thrown in game four, maybe he's thinking, you know, why not me? I don't know. I don't know what psychology effect that has on the
unless
team.
He really thinks Toronto bats when they wake up they're just gonna roll.
Well, that could happen.
No, and that's listen, again, we're back to this. The only
keep them stifled.
Well, either that or again, I'm not him. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is that he's doing this in case he needs him in game seven. On short rest again. I don't. I'm with you. I don't have any rhyme or reason why he would do this.
I'm telling you, if I'm a betting man, which I am.
Oh, yeah.
And a good one.
This is not one of my big plays here, but I really think right now, if you're out there, go with Toronto. I really like this game here. I like Toronto to blow this one up. I'm getting the itch about it, too. I'm getting that feel about it.
How much does mathematical stuff come into this? Because, you know, just the fact that Cleveland's won three, like flipping a coin, right, mathematically might tell me, hey, this Toronto, they're going to win one, you would think. So this is it.
And why would you risk it with your best pitcher?
Well, because that gives you the chance for Toronto not to win game four.
No, I would kind of look at it like,
I mean, Cleveland's got a better chance of winning game four, even mathematically, with Kluber pitching than they do without him. If he don't pitch, they could lose game four. These bats could get rocking and rolling, and Toronto could go into siege.
Well, that's what I said. Do they feel like they've got their backs against the wall already, and they're up?
The old baseball adage too is Kluber at his best on short rest? I don't know these guys. I tend to agree with Fish. I mean, it's this time of year where you do what you got to do. Kershaw seemed to come out of throwing like he did okay. So, you know, guys can do what they want. He didn't have the miles on him this year because of the injury and everything. So who knows? But listen, if you want to talk about managing. Okay, we're going to find out tonight if guys are smart enough as managers to pay attention to what's really going on. As far as Jono's thought on Toronto versus Cleveland tonight, you don't have to look any further than Toronto's starter, and that's Aaron Sanchez, who, by all accounts, has been a phenomenal young starter in this league this year. But the reality of it is where he has struggled is his third time through the order. So Will Gibbons tonight, if this thing holds true to form and Sanchez holds them down, Will he recognize that and go to that bullpen early like some of these other guys have done in the series, or will he do the traditional, try to stick with my starter, do at least 85, 90 pitches and see where I go from there? I mean, his bullpen.
I love Bobby Cox.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't you say that everybody statistically struggles their third time around? That's going to put you in a seventh inning.
Yeah, but his is drastic. His is drastic.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, and I agree, and I understand. I just happened to see him, and I thought, man, I wouldn't have guessed that because his numbers were so good, but it's the third time through the order where the home run bug really gets him.
But
you're playing in a bam box against a team that literally is out-homered you, so and that's supposed to be your strong suit.
So do you go by the book, the little mysterious black book, or do you go by your gut? Because I'm going to tell you this.
Well, that's where great managers are made, going by your gut.
I'm going to tell you this. Gibbons knows this.
Oh,
and John don't know it, Gibbons knows it.
For sure.
He knows the struggles that he is encountered the third time through the lineup. So does he give him a little leeway? You know, if he comes out and looks like Matt Moore the other day, does he say, yeah, I'm going to give this guy another inning?
Well, the other thing, too, is here's where the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we never see. I guarantee you that Gibbons, Francona, Madden, doesn't matter who it is, okay, these guys all have things going on in their own clubhouse that we don't even know about. There's no telling who's going to show up today to Gibbons and say, I can't go tonight, coach. My arm is dead. I mean, I've thrown two nights in a row, or I threw a bunch of pitches last night. I'm off limits tonight. I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
Does anybody do that? Maybe they do.
You've had
Benji Molina sit right here, and you've had Benji Molina sit right here.
As a catcher.
Saying that he's had to go up to players before and go, hey, what are you doing?
As a catcher, he said that he pulled the plug, and you know, not one pitcher said, I can't pitch tonight.
He sat right here and told us a story about a guy that he had to go up to and say, hey, what's with the flu-like symptoms? We're in a playoff hunt here. Guy says, man, I'm tired. My body's tired. I need a day. And it wasn't a pitcher.
We're talking about the pitchers, though.
Okay. I'm saying, are you telling – wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Whoa.
Whoa.
Are you trying to tell me that there aren't relief pitchers that throw a shitload, that the manager, the first thing he does, ask any one of them, I've heard it 1,000 times, the first thing they do is get with their relievers and find out who's off limits today?
I don't think any of them are saying they're off limits now, man.
I don't know where the question came from. I can't remember because I can't listen to you idiots that long. Having said that, this is the playoffs.
Okay,
exactly.
It is the playoffs.
So for Gibbons to come to one of these guys, it's not May, and saying, hey, I know you had stiffness in the elbow the last time. You want to give it a rest? Yeah, why don't we go with a little rest because it warming up the
pan. That's not what I'm talking
about. All right, what I'm
talking about being effective.
Well, they're all going to be effective.
Yeah. How are you going to be effective if you're shot? You got to be honest. There just ain't no time for heroes. Not when you're a bullpen guy.
You just asked about his elbow, and you're saying that's not what we're talking about.
I'm talking about a guy that
says, and then you bring up his arm shot.
Coach, my arm's dead. What do you want from me? They're men. They're not
you
machines.
Think these guys, yeah, but do you think these guys are saying that in the playoffs, Jimmy?
Okay.
There's not one man that would say that.
That's not a question. It's not rhetorical. I don't know the answer to this. I'm simply asking, do you think – you probably got a lot more insight than I do, especially, you know, your own youth baseball kids.
Listen.
It's just hard for me to believe that he would go to anybody right now and a guy say, yeah, I'm tired.
If you or anybody out in this listening audience thinks Kenley Jansen can just show up every night and throw two innings, you guys are crazy. Crazy and be effective.
Well,
I'll tell you this, though.
Jansen's not going to say, I can't go.
Now, here's the problem, Jimmy. See, you're confusing the argument because you're correct in that statement. But given the manager is not going to go to that guy the fourth night in a row, and even ask him, are you ready? Because he's already eliminated him. That guy's going to have to come like Kershaw, or who was, I think it was, said, hey, coach, I can get you three outs here. The manager's not going to go to him. He's done off the list. He's been scratched from the list because he has pitched 3 days in a row, 6 1/3 inning. You don't think Miller's going to throw again?
I'm sure he will. Again, I guarantee you, that's the first conversation they have is trying to figure out who's available in the bullpen. I've heard it 1,000 times over the years.
Right.
It's the first thing they do when they get to the park.
Man, I'm going to get
wrong. Where do you hear that?
When they interview guys, when they talk to managers. I mean, I've heard it 100 times.
Not one pitcher tonight will say that they're not ready to go.
And I would agree with that.
The truth of the matter is I can't answer the question because I haven't studied it enough to know who's thrown how much. But I'm here to tell you that if a guy that pitched last night wakes up today and his arm's tender and he doesn't have it,
and
then they stick his ass in there and he gets rocked, and then after the game it comes out, you know, I just couldn't get it loose.
15 minutes ago, this was our discussion about Bobby Cox. He never had that psychological thing to where he could read the every pitcher said they were still going, they were still okay, and that was his downfall. And you're going to have that. There's not one pitcher that's going to say, hey, you know what? Don't count me in tonight. I just don't think I got it.
Re-ask the question, because I've certainly misunderstood it. Because I didn't think the question was the manager coming and putting him in and him not being effective and then saying, hey, you know, in retrospect, he didn't look like he could get loose. He struggled in the bullpen. He wouldn't. The bullpen catcher, the bullpen coach, all these guys now saying this. What I'm saying was when the manager approaches him,
right.
Are you ready? This guy, in my belief, is going to say, oh, yeah, coach, I'm good.
I'm good.
It may turn out after the fact that he wasn't, that the bullpen coach even says he struggled getting loose. It looked like he didn't really get his velocity up, all the things they look for, whatever those things are.
But that's the coach's aspect.
Right. I'm just saying when that coach comes to him, I can't believe at this point that any of them would say, Miller included, who's thrown a lot and been effective, would say, you know, coach, don't think I'm ready tonight.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't either.
I don't see that.
I know I wouldn't.
You're at game, I mean, I'm just being pretty realistic here. You're at game one, game 170 something. Is that where we're at? Game 170 something?
No one cares anymore.
So my point is that, I mean, you have a good feel for when these guys are pushed past their limit. I mean,
right, and that's why I'm saying I misunderstood the question.
They're not going to go to every guy. They're going to go to the guys that have thrown a bunch and say, how do you feel
here
today?
Here it is, Jimmy. That's why I'm saying I must have misunderstood the question, because the manager will certainly at game 170 this guy's not ready.
Right. No, I'm not.
This guy's not ready.
You're totally
but
weaseling
if the
out.
Question
that wasn't
is,
even the way you said
if the
said
question
it.
Is asked to the player, are you ready? You know, Benji Molina, who we absolutely love in the show, because not just because of his baseball knowledge, but he's a terrific human being. He may have told you that some guy had the flu, but I'm going to throw that in a category that's a one percenter. Hell, everything can happen.
It's not a one percenter.
I can't see that happening very often.
His words, it happens all the time.
What well,
a
pitcher
that.
Says
I
can't go.
And we are talking about pitchers. We are talking about pitchers. And we are talking about the playoffs. And that's what this question was meant to be about.
For sure.
Oh, you're insane. I really think that everyone, including the baseball players down to kickers in football, everyone is ready to play.
Well,
will say, give me the ball. Now, you're supposed to be that coach and ask the bullpen coach, hey, how's he looking over there? Well, he's kind of struggling. He's not getting up to 88 right now. So right now, it's your deal to say he's full of shit and he can't go. Let's pull the plug on him. But as a player, you're supposed to say, and I don't know if you're supposed to say it, but you will say it, yeah. Give me the ball.
I understand that, but in the real world, if you got a guy in the bullpen that's shot, getting him loose to see if he's okay is just as bad as throwing him out there. Then you ain't got him the next
night.
You don't have him the next night either.
I went by what you told me. You told me that you could still pitch. Now you're going to say that. It's part of the chemistry of an athlete as a fighter.
Okay, so now you're making my point for me.
What am I making?
You're making my point because the manager's going to walk up to the guy and say, hey, I need to know how you feel today, and don't give me a bunch of bullshit.
I'm going to mediate this so we can get past it. Jimmy was right. I mean, you were wrong. All right, we accept that. Let's move forward.
Well, we're
right,
wrapping
Jimmy.
Up the show anyway, so we'll leave it on that note there.
I'm just
folks,
saying
go
that
to
managers
lineup.
Have a lot to deal with behind the scenes that we're unaware of.
Go to lineupmedia.fm. You've got some great baseball shows. What's your other baseball shows, guys?
Two Birds on a Bat. We're talking about the Cardinal offseason because the reality of it is this is the first year we got to deal with that in a long time.
Yep, there
Stinks.
You go. You got baseball
Stinks.
Shows. You got football shows like mine, CowboysPodcast.com. And you've also got such great social shows out there. I think we're going to increase this up to 60 shows by the end of the year.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's going to be great. Lineupmedia.fm. Whatever shows you're looking for, we got it.
How's your – I mean, the things on your Cowboys show right now got to be
it's outstanding because we've got a –
5-1. 5-1.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're 5-1. We've got a great fan base on Cowboys Podcast Show, and everyone's magnetized around it. It's a great atmosphere. I think if you guys are out there and a football fan, and you want to be a football fan, maybe you're a baseball fan and you'd like to have a team, the Cowboys Show is definitely for you. You guys will definitely like our show, and you know what? We're in first place, too.
You had to throw that in, didn't you?
I got to think that makes that show a whole lot easier to do when you're in first place.
Well, you know what? I got to. Yeah. Can I tell
But they're going to have some interesting stuff here, Jimmy, real quick, when Romo comes back from his injury or whatever.
Oh, we're talking about that. We're talking about that.
Oh, you
got to. That's a big topic right now.
And I want to go on record as saying, to me, you got to stay with the kid that's in there. You got to.
I'd sit him and Bryant both, tell him to have a cup of coffee.
Well, you chip Romo.
I'm Brian, too.
He's sitting desperate.
You know why? Because we're playing just fine without you. We don't need your distractions. Have a seat.
I don't think they're a distraction, but you, if you guys want the real scoop, go to our show. Yep. Don't hear it on the show.
TheCowboysPodcast.com. Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, I love this guy like a brother. There's no doubt about it. Okay, he's one of my best friends in the world. He's a foxhole guy for me. I could call him. I could count on him at any time. But we have this relationship where there's a part of me that when he was starting this Cowboys podcast, I remember him. You know, he's so passionate. You got to know that John truly is. I'm not just saying this because he's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in the world. But well, I got to tell you.
When
he was starting this, and this is our relationship, we're both the same way. All I could think to myself is knowing how passionate he is, knowing what a great human being is, but knowing how he so quickly can flip the switch and go the other way. All I could think of is, if these Cowboys struggle, this is going to be the greatest hour every week of my life.
Blow it out your ass. We're not struggling, and this show's not struggling. And so let's wrap it up.
No, it's good stuff.
Here.
I'm happy for you.
You know what? I will say that I think it might even be a better show because I've listened myself. I think it might even be a better show if the Cowboys were 1-5 right now.
Oh,
I mean, it'd be interesting. That's good. Not for Jono.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Let me tell you, I've been around him in all shapes and forms, brother. And when he's smiling, it's great. I got to tell you. So anyway, hey guys, thanks for the conversation today. I'll be curious to see what happens tonight out in L.A. Again, I'm going to find out if the numbers are right, because the reality of it is supposedly these Cubs struggle a little bit against left-handers. So we're going to find out how accurate that is, because they're going to catch one the next two nights.
And, folks, BetDSI.com. Check out our big plays this Friday. Subscribe to the show. That's what we need. We need you guys to subscribe and get ready for my big picks on Friday, because I guarantee that these are going to be blasting.
Yep. Let's see what goes down today in Toronto. If Kluber's a winner,
whatever.
I guess we put Francona in the Hall of Fame. If he loses, right, he's an idiot.
He's gonna
for the bums. I'm Jimbo. That's Fish. This is Jono. We will see
you guys
on Friday.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.